I just have you pray us today. Come before you with the fear of God. And we can't involve our own selves, do nothing. But we trust in a living God who helps poor, weak, frail people like me. Charity. The scripture says, if we go to 1 Corinthians 13 and 1, though I speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass and tinkling. I think about charity, and we think of what the world considers charity. So I decided to look it up. I know what I know from life, that people look at charity as being able to do good to people in need. So the definition that I got from the internet says it is generosity and helplessness and helpfulness, especially toward the needy or suffering, and also aid given to those in need. And it goes on. But the Bible says something different about charity. So let's read the second verse. And it says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity is very important. Charity, according to the Bible and the understanding I have, is the divine love of God. It is a divine working of God in us and in our lives. It's not our putting out. It is something, an essential element within us that we need in order to be saints of God and in order to meet God in peace. We must have it. We can have a lot of gifts. We can talk, be able to expound all knowledge and wisdom and convince people. And there's a lot of gifts we can have. But if we do not have charity, it's all in vain. So it says that even if I could have all faith, and we know that faith is essential to our salvation, but it can't be alone. So it says that I could remove mountains. So we can't always see the big things that people do and think, wow, God is really working with them. God works within our inner being, and he changes us. Through the love, through the charity, we're changed. We cannot, the things that we do and live to be an example of a saint, we cannot do it on our own. We have to have the power of God and charity working with us to make us to be able to do those things. It says, verse 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Maybe we can suffer a long time, but can we be kind while we're suffering? If we can suffer long and be kind during the suffering, in the suffering. This is charity. Charity envieth not. See the qualities that charity produces in our lives? We don't have to look at other people and want to have what they have or wish that we had this and that. We can be content with what we have. We don't have to envy anybody's abilities, their successes, none of that, because charity doesn't do that. Charity vaunteth not itself. Now, I want to read some scriptures where we can see how some people, one example in the Word of God of a man who the Bible said he, Luke 18, 10 and 12, there were two men that went up to the temple to pray. The other, one was a publican and the other was a Pharisee. If someone would get some of these scriptures, it would help me and read verses 10 through 12.
Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess.
Do you notice that he was putting himself, I do this. I'm not like others. I'm fast twice a week. I give tithes. He was putting himself forward. So it shows you that he had a lack of true charity. Because charity does not put ourselves forward. We do not want to make ourselves, well, let's read Philippians 2, 5, 1 through 8. You see, Jesus was our example. He came here and he showed us how to do this. He was God in the form of a man. And the scripture says that God is love. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. That charity, that love of God, Jesus showed us just how it works, how it can work in a human being. So it says, if someone has that for me.
What is that reference?
Philippians 2, 1 through 8.
If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves.
Okay, just a minute. You see this vainglory? This is how a person that puts themselves forward, they do it for the glory of men. It's vain. It's vain. It's useless without God's love. Continue on, please.
Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God.
Okay, stop just a minute. Jesus was God. He was God's Son. And yet, even though he had this high position, if you want to call it that. And he didn't even feel wrong that it was wrong for him, or robbery, as the scripture said, to be equal with God. He knew he was equal with God. But what did he do? Verse 7.
But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
Amen. So you see, charity vaunteth not itself. Jesus himself, being the Son of God, came down from glory. He had glory that none of us could ever touch. And yet, he humbled himself. He didn't want a reputation. He didn't try to put himself a reputation. So we don't want, if we're going to be like him, and if we're going to have this true divine love of God in us, we will not want a reputation. We'll not try. We'll not put ourselves forward and try to have some kind of rep among men. This scripture, we'll move on. It says, is not puffed up. No pride. No pride. Who am I but a piece of dust? You know, sometimes people can have so much pride, they forget what we're made out of. And as soon as we die and God withdraws that breath, our body begins to deteriorate into what we're made out of, dust. If we have the love of God, we'll keep those things in mind, and we will not allow the enemy to make us puffed up. The devil can do that. He'll present something to you. Oh, I know I make the best cakes around. You know, puffed up. We have to be careful, don't we, sisters? Because sometimes we do. We can make something that tastes so good, we don't want the other person's, you know, potato salad, because mine is the best. But we don't want to be puffed up about it. We can, Sister Doris, I know you made many cakes. Give me your recipe. But I can give the recipe, but I can't afford to allow myself to be puffed up and to think I'm something when I'm nothing. It's not puffed up. You know about Nebuchadnezzar. That was mentioned in this meeting. He had done all these great things, and he got to thinking about himself, and this is what I did. God humbled him. He'll humble us too. If we think we're something, he'll humble us. I'd rather humble myself than to have God to have to humble me. And it goes on and says, does not behave itself unseemly. We have to be careful. And I'm learning that, of the way we carry ourselves. I'm learning that. The Lord is teaching me even now. Because don't want anything to be a reproach against his cause. I need your prayers. It says, seeketh not her own. You know, there are people in this world that they have to have it their way. It's my way or the highway. If I say it, we're going to make meatloaf today, and someone else says, I don't think we should have meatloaf, what should I do? I should submit. I prefer you, preferring one another. That's how we get rid of self. We start preferring one another. And one of those scriptures, it says, look not on your own things, but look on the other things of others. Start preferring your brothers and sisters. That will eliminate a lot of self. Same thing in marriage. Husband and wife. We have to prefer one another. Maybe I don't want to cook spaghetti today, but if my husband wanted it, you know, he's gone now, but when he was, then I would do it. I honestly tried to make my husband feel like he was the king in the house. I didn't ever let, we had a lot of children because when I married him, he already had children. Then we had children. We had a big household. But I never let those children come eat up all the food and he comes home and it's not there. It was him first. His food was going to be first. If we had to eat before him, I'd have to fix him a plate. And that's the way. I feel like we should prefer one another. We should deny ourselves. Maybe I feel like laying in the bed, but if he has something he wants me to do, I need to get up and do it. Unless I can't. Let's learn to deny ourselves. When we start denying ourselves, then we will not be seeking our own. It's not got to be my way. It needs to be God's way. It says, it's not easily provoked. It takes a lot of patience to walk through this life. There are many things that can provoke us, like Brother Clevenger was saying, road rage. People are very rude. We were flying here, and our flight was delayed. So they had to ask the passengers, if you are not in a crunch time to catch your flight, consider the other people. There are people maybe next to you that only have a few minutes to get, or else they will end up having to stay in the airport through the night. And we were watching, and they turned on the lights of those people that need to get out first. Well, a few people decided to turn on their own lights. So then, stewardess came and talked to him, and they turned it back off. But I noticed this one man, though his light was off, he was determined he was going to get out regardless. He was thinking of himself. And that's the way we can be. We can feel like I'm number one. Everything got to be my way. And I have the answer to anything. But we don't have to do that. And back to the being provoked, there's a lot of things that can provoke you. Even in a situation like that where you need to get out and here's this person that know good and well they don't have to go. You can, if you're not careful, you can, something rise up in there and you can say, well, sir, you know, I need to go. Will you please wait? But a saint with the love of God in their heart is not easily provoked. The Lord will help you. The Lord will calm your spirit and think it's no evil. You know, the love of God makes you try to look for the good in people. You're just not quick to think evil of somebody. It might have even flown over your head, so to speak. Sometimes people think, you know, you just allow people to run over you. Or didn't you see what they say? Or didn't you feel? But you know something? the love of God, divine love of God, to make you think no evil. And in the scripture, the sixth verse, it says, rejoices not in iniquity, but in rejoices in the truth. Beareth all things, in verse 7. This scripture is so close to my heart. Because I think of Jesus. It says, believeth all things, endureth all things. And when Jesus was on the cross, he would rather to bear the pain than to see the person destroying him, the person, the ones that have taken his life, be destroyed by God. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He even found a reason to forgive them. Forgive them. Not, Lord, just forgive them, but they don't know what they're doing. Lord, forgive them. Beareth all things, endureth all things. And I think of Stephen, and I want us to read Luke 23, Acts 6, 8-15. I think of Stephen. When I look at how he was trying to reason with these people, he didn't reason with them out of anger. He was firm. He rebuked them. But what did he, in the eighth verse, it says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. And then there arose a certain of the synagogue, which is called Synagogue of the Libertarians and Cyrenians and Alexandrians and of the Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, we said, we have heard him speak blaspheming words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. And false witnesses said, this man ceased not to speak blaspheming words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say, and this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all they of the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been, the face of an angel. Look at how even all the things he was saying, he had a countenance that's like an angel. You know why? He was full of the divine love of God. And then we read in the 7th verse, chapter and 54 to 60. Someone read that for me.
When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on them with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes and a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. When he had said this, he fell asleep.
When I think of that, my mind goes back to Stephen. They're stoning him. They're killing him. But because of the divine love of God, he did not want God to destroy these people. You know, the human nature will want us to, you know, something need to happen to this person. What they've done to me, God need to punish them. I'm looking for God, but he didn't want it. He knelt down and cried, not with a little voice, not whisper, but with a loud voice. It shows me his earnestness in his spirit that he did not want God to punish these people. That's bearing all things. That's enduring all things. And I think about how there are many ways we get this love, this divine love, when we give our heart to the Lord, when we get sanctified. If you will read Romans 5, 1 through 5, that's how we get it. That's how we come. When we get saved, God gives us a portion of it. But when we get sanctified, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations work as patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. That divine love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. We can't do this on our own. If it wasn't for the love of God, everything that is against our natural man, tribulations, patience, the natural man doesn't know how to be patient. That comes from God to be able to do it. Yes, there are some people that have a tendency to be more patient than others, but the patience that really, when things are pressing against us and we can still have patience, is God's divine love. And now I want you to know that unless we have this love of God, we will not see his face in peace. If we look in 1 John, it says 4, somebody get it, 4, 7, and 8.
Beloved, let us love one another. Love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love.
Okay, so when we face God, we're going to have to have it. Without it, we're going to be rejected. And in this, the last part of this, it says that charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part. Do you know that our knowledge is limited to this. We do not see the eternal. We only see a glimpse of it. So we know in part, and we prophesy in part. We prophesy from what we know. But when that which is perfect, that means Jesus comes back, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away with. And then it says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly. We can only see part. We cannot see on the other side. But then, face to face. Now I know in part, For then shall I know, even as I am known. Do you know what God is going to look for when he comes back? He's going to look for that divine love, because that is him. He's not going to look for how much money I gave to this charity, or how many people I fed. Those are important too. But he's going to, if we do not have his divine love operating in our heart, he will say, I don't know you. Then will I know, even as I am known. If God knows us, he will know us because of his own character in our heart. Pray for me.